Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how you doing on this fine day?
I'm all right. I am drinking a sweet cinnamon punch once more, a suzyongwa, delicious rice. Cinnamon together at last. I know I started the podcast waxing lyrical about how delicious the cinnamon punch is last week, but I think on this show it's even more delicious.
I have to say, one of my favourite alcoholic drinks is Korean. It's makgeolli. It's kind of like rice wine. It's kind of like this thick, soupy rice wine, a bit like rice pudding. But imagine if rice pudding was good. That's alcoholic. Yeah, it's kind of like, it's a bit like sake in some respects, but it's kind of sweeter, more flavourful, a bit milky. A bit like a cocktail, but macaroni.
A little bit like a Korean horchata, you know, like a cinnamon, milky, ricey drink that the Mexicans drink. It's delicious.
It is like that, yeah. That's good. If you go into any Korean restaurant, it's always on the menu, and they come in like different flavours, but amazing stuff. Like we talked about Korean food last week and our love for it, and there are some good Korean food, like good Korean places in London as well, right? Near where you are.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, well, near where I am, as in I live in Hertfordshire now, but where I used to live, obviously a lot of Korean barbecue places with those big kind of, like the burners that are in front of you that you cook your own food, and then like the kind of extractor fans that kind of the cooker hoods effectively that sort of go down at the bottom.
It's
beautiful.
I actually had that for dinner just yesterday, yakiniku in Japan. You get a big grill and you get a massive plate covered in meat. At a reasonable price, and then you cook it over the barbecue. It's quite fun, but I'm a little bit lazy. I just don't. I'm the sort of person who'd rather just
cook it for me.
Cook it for me. I'll sit there, bring me the food, eat it, job done. Like the idea of like cooking your own food, I don't know. Seems good in It seems good in like as an idea, but in practice, it's just effort, isn't it? Effort.
Yeah, I tell you what's also effort. Watching the Abroad in Japan channel. I have yet to watch your YouTube of your abusive YouTuber comments.
Abusive YouTuber. Yes, I did have a video come out the other day called "Why I'm the Worst Foreigner in Japan," based off of people leaving stupid comments. I haven't made a hate mail reading video since like 2017. But I've just been piling up, and there was one on there that was the centerpiece, which we did read out on this podcast when it happened in, I think, December. And that was the person that was angry at Joey and I for eating the bee larvae stuff in the second episode of Journey Across Japan 2 with Natsuki. But we had to eat a local food in Nagano. The food we got was bee larvae, and it was just horrible, and Natsuki was sick. And the person commented that we were disrespectful to the people of Japan, and it's a shame, and that's why all Japanese hate foreigners, because of people like me. Oh, it made me so angry. I'm not triggered easily, but I actually agree
with that, to be honest.
Get out, Pete. I hate you. But like, yeah, there was some stupid comments. I had a guy called Ivan who was angry at my British accent. Like, I made the Fukushima documentary, this slick produced documentary about an important subject. And Ivan just went, "I hate British accents. They're horrible." And I was like, "Thanks, Ivan. Is that the place to comment? Any other video, I wouldn't care." I got a comment from a guy called Clifford Jazzway, which is the best name I've ever heard.
Nice.
Clifford Jazzway, telling me if I don't like Japan, I should go home to my own country. I don't know why he said that. I don't know what I've said that's critical, but...
That guy sounds like he owns swords. That guy just sounds like he owns swords and...
Clifford Jazzway. You own swords, don't you? You own a sword. You
not
can't talk.
Not love pillows. Or, yeah, but I'm not bitter about not living in Japan, am I? I'm not having a little cry about it.
I nicknamed these sort of commenters as like Last Samurai Syndrome, because they feel like they're like the last defense between other foreigners in Japan. They sit there and defend Japan from foreigners.
Gatekeep.
In the comfort of their basement over the keyboard. And another comment was angry at Joey and I for Journey Across Japan. In an episode, we went to a capsule hotel. We stayed in a capsule hotel. And the bathtubs were like these weird plant pot-shaped bathtubs. They're just like a giant plant pot. And we had two matching plant pots, and we could sit in them both. And we joked and were like, oh, it's like a plant pot. And the guy was like, you and your friend, your sneering tone is so condescending about the plant shop, the plant pot-shaped bathtubs. And I was like, is that something to get offended about? Like, compared to like Logan Paul filming people that have taken their lives in a forest, throwing Pokemon balls at police officers. That's something to get angry about. Two people laughing about a silly bathtub is fine. But honestly, it's kill me now.
The plant pot bathtubs are an inherent part of an important part of Japanese culture and history. And the sooner you absolute idiots respect that, it's two absolute guiding idiots. The sooner you respect that, the better.
Should have done an apology video for my bad, my terrible things I've done.
To the plant pot bathtub company. Of Osaka.
Another comment was angry at me for being negative, right? I did a video, the first video this year was why I
don't
like
Japan. Not
going to
enjoy your stuff, mate, are they?
Well, I know. The first video I made this year was why I don't like Japan at Christmas. And in that video, I talked about how on the first day of Christmas, my true love got for me an asbestos bath mat, right? A bath mat filled with a toxic substance that causes lung cancer. And I talked about how angry and disappointed I was to discover my bath mat, which I've used for 2 years, was filled with asbestos. And this person was like, this channel's so negative and I'm so disappointed. Why is he so unhappy? I've got a fucking asbestos bath mat. What am I? I'm not going to be happy about a carcinogenic bath mat, am I? Oh my God.
I mean, to be fair, that is a weird thing to base an entire YouTube video out, but I mean, that wasn't what you based it on. It was part of a video.
That's part of the video. It's part of it. But yeah, anyway, go and check that out. Get ready to lose your faith in humanity, ladies and gentlemen. Why I'm the worst foreigner in Japan. It's on the second channel, Chris Abroad, because I didn't want to give the people the attention they deserve on the Abroad Japan channel. So there you go. We've got a story this week from Brian. Brian says, hi, Chris and Pete.
Lovely.
I don't have much to go on here. Usually we have a subject header for the story of the week. We've got nothing. We've just got Brian. Let's go. Hi, Chris and Pete. I have a story for you that I think you'll enjoy. I went to Japan for the first time in 2016 with my mate and his girlfriend. We had a great time in Tokyo, Kamakura, and Osaka. However, Nagoya was a bit of a how's it going, which is Australian slang for sus or dodgy. I didn't know that. Didn't know that at all.
I didn't know that either.
I've just bit my tongue. Ow. One night. This is going to be a pain. This is,
you
read it. Go on. I'm going to need to cry in the corner.
One night we were bored. You're having a bit of an issue. Oh, Lordy. What a Wednesday. One night we were bored and decided to have some drinks at the nearest bar we could find. There wasn't much in the area, but we found a 4-story apartment block that had various signs out the front. The sign that caught our eyes was bright yellow and red. Eccentric club. And the idea of going to a bar named such an odd manner seemed too good of an opportunity to turn down. That is the great thing about Japan. There seems to be no rhyme or reason to the English word people seem to want to use for their bars. They will just name their bars bar bollocks if they want to, and people will go because it's stupid. We climbed the stairs to the fourth floor, where this eccentric extravaganza bonza was situated. However, we became hesitant to enter as it all started to feel a bit strange. We agreed to do rock, paper, scissors to see who would go in first, check it out. And luckily, my mate lost, so he had to go in. My mate opens the door, walks in, and the door closes behind him. About 5 seconds later, he rushes out, and he has a very shocked look on his face. He then says to me, you have to open the door and see what's happening in there. or you'll regret it for the rest of your life. I was taken aback, but it had to be good as we both have a dark sense of humor. So I took the plunge and I entered the eccentric club. Upon entry, I saw five or six salary men standing at the bar, drinking beers and watching the stage. I then look at the stage to see one salary man bent over, no shirt on and a collar and chain around his neck. Next to him is a mistress holding the chain with a whip in hand that she is about to crack. They all turned to stare at me like I was interrupting their dinner, and the club is also dead silent at this point as well. I had no idea what to say, and out of shock, I said, "Do you sell cheap beers in Japanese?" But I didn't wait to hear the answer as I hurried out of this very eccentric club. To this day, I wonder why I said what I did, but I also wonder why a bunch of salarymen were watching their mate get spanked while they sipped on Asahi Super Dries. I would love to hear if any of your other viewers have had a similar experience to this, as it's one of the strangest things I've seen in my life. Funnily enough, I went back a few years later to teach English in Nagoya and met my now wife there, so it's not all bad. How did you meet her? That's the question. We are living in Melbourne. Someone got a whipping. This is so rude. Sorry. We are living in Melbourne. That's why I don't do the story at the start. This is why I don't read it out.
Oh, dear.
We are living in Melbourne now, but we'll be moving back next year. Definitely not to Nagoya, though. Cheers for reading this email, Brian. I mean, you said it before, Chris. Nagoya is regarded as being a bit boring, a bit grey. You've got to make your own entertainment. You've got to whip your friends.
Good God. I mean, that's the most exciting story I've ever heard coming out of Nagoya. Good old eccentric club. It reminds me of that bar we went in once. It was like Bar Happy Christmas in Sendai. And you were like, "Oh, let's go in the club." And I was like, "We're not going in."
Yeah, you're going club.
Let's go in club. Yeah. And you went down the stairs and there was just like a woman just singing karaoke to a man. And you're like, "Let's go inside." I was like, "No."
It was beautifully done out, though. They'd clearly had a recent refit. And I love soft furnishings, Chris. I've said that on more than one occasion.
Well, I did go back to Sendai, to that district in Sendai, to Bar Happy Christmas. It's gone. It's gone now. So clearly didn't weather the storm of COVID. Yeah, unfortunately. But well done, Brian. That is the best story to come out of Nagoya. If you've got a story from the city of Nagoya where dreams go to die, let us know. People get angry that I slag off Nagoya all the time, but it's the butt of all jokes in Japan. It's sort of the Hartlepool of Japan.
Hey!
We got a story this week involving 7-Eleven, everyone's favourite convenience store. 7-Eleven's gone to war with one of its franchisee owners. It seems in Japan there's a 7-Eleven on every corner. Now, on a single corner, in a working-class suburb of Osaka, there are two. Mitoshi Matsumoto, a franchisee, ran one of the two 7-Elevens until the chain revoked his contract in 2019 after he dared to shorten his operating hours, something 7-Eleven doesn't like. For over a year, his store sat empty as he and 7-Eleven battled in court. Finally, 7-Eleven got angry and decided to build a brand new 7-Eleven in the car park of his 7-Eleven. And they've also hired a team of private investigators to watch his store, collecting grainy videos that the company asserts shows him headbutting one customer and attacking another's car with a flying kick. It's also compiled a dossier of complaints against him, including one over a bungled giveaway of commemorative mayonnaise. God damn it. What is he planning at? And now it says it plans to charge him for the cost of the building and the second shop next to his. Good God. A 7-Eleven war. And this is in the New York Times. This is such a big story. Yeah. It's left the streets of Osaka and found its way to the New York Times. What do you make of this, Pete? What's going on?
I mean, I'm enjoying the fact that part of the grist for the mill is a bungled commemorative mayonnaise giveaway. You know what I mean? Where's my mayonnaise? It's like there's one of the list of complaints on the old rap sheet. Have you seen the pictures of this guy's 7-Eleven and the one they built in the guy's car park? Because obviously they own the land.
Yeah, yeah.
So they just they slop down this. It looks like a UN. Sort of tent that they would put like refugees in or something.
It does, doesn't
but
it?
It's all branded up with the 7-Eleven stuff. It's incredible. It's so wonderfully petty and so wonderfully silly. I mean, if he has an agreement in place on his contract that says you have to stay open 24/7, because that's the thing, well, you have to, you know, you kind of have to sort of go in the spirit of that, come hell, high water, or force majeure in the shape of a COVID epidemic outbreak. But Yeah, an incredible bit of one-upmanship, an incredible bit of kind of shithousery, you'd call it in football, to build a 7-Eleven in a 7-Eleven's garden, effectively.
I mean, to be fair to Mr. Matsumoto, you know, he ran it for 7 years without any problems. He did it round the clock. But then it became sustainable, I think, when his wife passed away of cancer in 2018. And so he kind of found it hard to hire people or whatnot and keep it open 24 hours. So you have to have some sympathy for him. But fair play to him for going up against one of the most powerful companies in Japan. The ruthlessness of 7-Eleven. If you don't play ball, they'll turn your car park into another shop. But there's a great article. It's called A Grudge Match in Japan. One corner, two 7-Elevens. You can find that on the New York Times. Meanwhile, back home in the UK, some British residents in the town of Walsall aren't happy about 15 giant green plant pots that have been installed in the town centre because they look like Super Mario pipes, apparently. As reported by the Birmingham Mail, the pots were brought and set up in a town using taxpayer money. It hasn't gone down well with the locals, who say they're ugly and they look like Mario. It beggars belief, says local florist Andrea Loveridge. It makes the place look like something out of Super Mario Brothers. They look like those warp pipes Mario jumps down. Loveridge, along with others who spoke to Birmingham Press, expressed frustration that the city was spending money on these warp pipes instead of trying to help local businesses in the times of COVID. Supermarket worker Sue Morrison explained that in a vibrant modern town, the Mario pipes might work. This city is dilapidated and tired. These fun pots just look out of place. Good God. I mean, this reminds me of the good old squid story, public funds being used in interesting ways, sometimes to the detriment of the locals. How do you feel about the Super Mario pipes, Pete? Would you want them in your town?
I've been to Walsall, and I understand why one would want to jump down a Super Mario pipe and take your chances in the sewer. But I am of the opinion that obviously, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic or epidemic at the very least, and they're sort of saying that you know, they should be supporting local businesses rather than making these planters. I mean, we're not talking about a massive infrastructure project, and we're certainly not even talking about a gigantic squid that costs 200,000. We're talking about a couple of plant pots that they've painted garish colours in the town centre. Yes, they look stupid, but, you know, it's something, isn't it?
Like, I think.
I realise it's something. You've got to start somewhere. You've got to start somewhere.
I think there's only one man who's ready to go over and do a report on this. Walsall's not too far from where you are. It's probably a 90-minute journey. Get up there, interview the
Can't
locals.
Drive, mate.
Fail his driving test,
doing it.
Unfortunately, last week, poor old Pete. But you've got a provisional. Get a friend in there, and you can drive it and not use the highways. Probably take 3 hours to get there.
What I like, that they interviewed local florist Andrea Loveridge, and she said it beggars belief.
You know, beggars belief.
Like, but it's just kind of like, well, you're the florist. You should be supporting of planters. You should be supporting of people planting flowers, surely. Or maybe she sees it as a competition. I don't know.
I just hope Nintendo don't discover this. As we know, Nintendo are ruthless when it comes to copyright infringement. I fear the town of Walsall, wherever that is, somewhere near Birmingham, would not do very well up against the all-powerful Nintendo. Still want to go to the Nintendo theme park in Osaka. Mm. I'd love to go. We'll be back in a moment after the quick break to the fax machine.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
and receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
What do we got then this week in the fax machine, Mr. Donaldson?
Ross from Manchester got in touch. Hiya, Pete. Have to mention the best host first. And Chris.
Best
host? I wonder
why
we chose this email. I'm planning my first ever trip to Japan for some point in the near future. And I'm hopefully going for just shy of a month. I'm hoping to visit some of the more off-the-beaten path spots as well as the standard Tokyo tourist traps to get the most authentic experience of Japan during my stay. My question to Chris is how you managed to find all the exciting and unique places and attractions featured in your videos. Is it just scrolling through TripAdvisor, or are there some secret tricks of the trade to discovering the ryokans, theme parks and love hotels you find yourself in? Thanks a lot, chaps, and all the best. That is a very interesting point. Is it just Ryotaro's little black book? Is it just Natsuki giving you the hot takes on where you should be going next?
The black book of Ryotaro. It's like Chairman Mao's little red book. I feel compelled not to answer, given that the opening line was, hi Pete, have to mention the best host first. I'm tempted to pass over it, but I'm in a good mood today because I've got my coffee and I've just ordered some chicken wings. I would say for Journey Across Japan 3, Lost Islands, I did all the research for it over a period of 1 or 2 weeks. And honestly, I will look online. I'll sort of type in the area and see what they've got. I'll look in Japanese because that's where all the best stuff is typically, like all the hidden abandoned places. Typically, if you want to find them, you need to sort of look for them in Japanese. Tip-offs from locals. TripAdvisor, I wouldn't advise. They tend to not have much interesting stuff on there. It's just the usual sort of tourist trap stuff. There's a good website called Atlas Obscura, which compiles like weird or odd places in countries around the world. And they've got quite a lot of great stuff about Japan in there. Atlas Obscura, they're always a good one. But honestly, it just takes a lot of research, a lot of painstaking work. For example, the ryokan, the Japanese inn we stayed in on Journey Across Japan with the 1,000-year-old log that was amazing. That was literally I just went and looked through all the hotels in the town until I found one that was interesting. So there's no quick way around it. Just lots of research, really. And passion. Yeah. Passion. That's what you need, Ross.
Google Translate. If get some passion. Speak Japanese, presumably.
We got one here. Google Translate. Got one here from TC Pearsall, who says,
good day to you both, Master Chris and Pete. I work at a newspaper in a nearby town, and I'm fascinated by how different countries approach reporting. From your experience, how would you describe the style of news coverage in Japan? Is it more sensationalist and entertainment-centric, like other Japanese television programs, or is it lightly based, like other mainstream news outlets, or fairly even-keel and fact-based? Your friend in Magical Hannibal, T.C. Pearsall. Friend in Magical Hannibal? What does that mean, Pete?
Not a clue, to be honest. Magical Hannibal. I wonder where Hannibal is. T.C. Pearsall.
So, I mean, I don't really read Japanese newspapers. Even now, I struggle to read them. The kanji is a little bit complicated and it's just stressful. But I tend to find there's less sensationalist news. They don't have the sort of the ruthless tabloids that we have in the UK. That culture doesn't exist here as much. And interestingly, the Japanese media tend to toe the party line. They tend to not go against the government or criticize the government half as much as we do over in the UK or over in the US. Like there was a few years ago, the head of NHK, the sort of BBC of Japan, which is supposed to be impartial to the government, the Prime Minister at the time, Shinzo Abe, replaced the head of the NHK with a guy who was his friend, basically. And that destroyed the integrity of the NHK, basically, the NHK, and that's a shame. But if you look at Japan's
that's
press
pretty
rankings,
much what's happened with the BBC over here as well, to be fair.
Yeah, I heard something like that happened. That's unfortunate. But yeah, Japan, it doesn't fare as well as it used to on the press rankings, the freedom of press. It's gone down in recent years. I think it's either 40th or 60th the last time I checked. But
not great for a developed nation, you would imagine.
No, it's not. It's not good. But yeah, they have a history of just working with the government and not being critical of them as much. But I think they've rounded on the current Prime Minister and his handling of the coronavirus recently, and his popularity has plummeted to 30%, which isn't at all good. So, I don't know, it depends on the situation, but it's not as ruthless as the UK, put it that way.
Yeah, interesting. We got an email from, to round everything up, Tara. Hello, Tara. Hi, Chris and Pete. My name is Tara, and I'm from Mumbai in India. I travelled solo to Japan in February 2020 for a month, where I had a fantastic time, and I met some of the loveliest people who were always ready to help. For a couple of days, I went up to Yokote, check out the Kamakura Snow Festival. It was a remarkable experience. However, I appeared to be the only foreigner in this tiny town. Once I was ready to return back to my hotel at about 11 p.m, I discovered that there were no taxis or buses, and people didn't really speak any English. While I was beginning to get a bit nervous, an old Japanese lady came up to me and escorted me back to a church, where she booked me a taxi, gave me a sandwich from Family Mart and a train station map so that I could find my way back to the station for my train to Tokyo the next day. I was so touched by this kind gesture. So my question for you is, what is the kindest thing a stranger has ever done for you? Your podcasts are lovely to listen to, and I hope I can make it back to Japan soon. Tara, you have touched my heart, so to speak, with your amazing story about a lovely old lady.
The kindest act by a Japanese stranger. As I say, the kindest act by a Japanese person. Natsuki helped me with my car insurance once. That was nice.
Oh, did he now?
What's Rioftro
done
recently?
Imagine if you, well, you said you've never had to make a claim, so he may have done it incredibly poorly.
Probably. I don't want to find out. I definitely don't want to find out. Kindest thing by a stranger. I mean, I don't know. What, have you got any stories off the top of your head, Pete?
I mean, I think just general kind of directional kind of stuff. Where's that over here? And I just think the warmth and loveliness of the people, they just come up and talk to you and stuff. And so nothing in particular, but if you are ever in trouble, don't worry. Someone will always be around to help. And none of them, well, some of them will be, none of them are murderers in the main.
Just whistle and tap your feet together three times and the nearest Japanese person will come running. I think, probably, I'm going to say, when I was in Journey Across Japan, I spent a day in Matsuyama, beautiful city, one of my favorite cities in Japan. And the challenge for that day was get shown around by a stranger. And I asked Ryotaro if he knew anyone in the town. He had a good friend, Kazu, and she was really nice. She, at the drop of a hat, at a moment's notice, she agreed to meet with us, which is very rare. Like, for someone in Japan to do something spontaneously like that is quite a rare thing. You've got to always book ahead in advance or whatnot. So, she came out the drop of a hat and showed me around town. We had a great day. So I'm going to say, the day with Kazu in Matsuyama, which you can watch. It's a video called I Made Friends with a Stranger in a Japanese Town.
I think it's worded better than that, but it sounds like that. It's better than
catchy,
that.
Catchy stuff.
That's right. Go and check that
Hit
out.
Hit that mate. SEO, baby.
Oh, God. I forget my title so easily. I don't know what's going on. You've done 220 videos.
Whenever we do the shows, I edit the show and I put it up. So if there's ever an F up that direction, it's usually me or possibly our hosting platform. But Chris always sends the titles afterwards, and he writes these kind of very sort of like attention grabbing titles. But the dummy ones I put in before he turns up are quite frequently quite offensive.
Oh, I dread to think. We've let you title the podcast about 3 or 4 times.
Oh, no. You know what, though? I don't know whether I include it in the last one, but you remember we were talking about the loss of Ramune,
Ramune,
drink,
yeah, the
Japanese
drink.
Drink. Yeah. And I think you gave me a title, but I think it was originally titled Ramune on the Run? Would you drink Japan's most popular soda? And I thought that was a very Chris Broad title, but you put a different one in instead.
Shut you down.
I'm learning. I'm learning.
The thing I always go for is to make sure everyone knows what it is. I try and approach marketing Japan as like imagining that the listener or the viewer doesn't know what I'm talking about. I think like what would my family, would they be lost
pandering.
If I... Ramune on the
pandering.
Run. Pandering.
You're basically calling all of the audience silly billies who don't know anything. That's exactly what you're saying.
Especially my family and friends. Especially. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com, guys. We'll be back in the next few days for the next episode. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, enjoy the next few days and we'll see you on Wednesday or Sunday because I don't know what day it is. As always, what day is it, Pete? What's the next one?
I can't remember. I think
just as bad as I am. Just as bad.
No, it's Sunday.
Hey.
See you then.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.